Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Kempire is brought to you by
Washington, D.C. The Kempire After Dark, the Villain Era live tour is coming to your city on August 22nd. But before that, we're coming to Philly on July 10th at City Winery. Then we're going to Atlanta on August 5th. Then we're going to Washington, D.C. And this is going to be an all new show, all new hot topics, all new reality TV conversation, and all kinds of amazing guests and surprises. Be sure to get your tickets today. And don't forget, we're coming back to New York City on September 12th. Go get your tickets. There's also a live stream option exclusively for the New York City show. More information will be available in the description.
You're listening to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network.
It's day 12 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial. A former personal stylist for Cassie has taken the stand. And Mia, victim 4, a personal assistant, has also taken the stand. Let's unpack their testimony and more. We have more information that I gathered yesterday from a conversation with a prosecutor. Let's get into our coverage, the Kempire Channel's coverage for day 12 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial. Earlier today, we released an almost 2-hour video where I had a conversation with Kirsten Brown, a prosecutor from Los Angeles, who really helped give me insight, and I hope our community. As always, I'm going to link that somewhere in here or in the description, because I feel like for those that have been asking, are they proving racketeering? Are they approving S trafficking? She was such a fabulous guest. We're definitely going to have her come back because, again, we're only in week 3 of this trial. But her conversation about breaking down jury selection, her perspective on how the prosecution is doing, how the defense is doing, how Cassie did. According to her, she feels as if Cassie wasn't their, quote, star witness. Yes, she was a salacious witness, but she wasn't their star witness. She believes that there is a whole lot more that we need to buckle up for when it comes to this Diddy trial. So if you missed that, I think if you really would like an education on the accusations that we're talking about, the charges and what the jury has to do in order to either say not guilty or guilty, that is a conversation. We answered so many questions, and this is why it was almost a 2-hour conversation. And literally, we could have talked a lot more. But unfortunately, I'm too busy to be doing all of that. Today's live is brought to you by our friends over at Factor Meals. And as I said before, I am way too busy. The way that yesterday was, I had multiple appointments in the morning. I had to prepare our day 11 Diddy update. Then in the evening, I had that conversation with Kirsten talking about this Diddy trial. So it was a full day. I don't have time to cook. So Factor Meals makes it easy. You have a dietitian approved chef crafted meal with like 40 plus add-ons, and it's the summertime. A lot of us, the days are a lot longer. You want to be out. You want to be doing that. You don't want to be hanging out in your kitchen trying to make a meal. Pop this in. You got a meal. All right. But of course, you want a discount. You don't want just a meal. You want a discount for your meal. Get started at factormeals.com/Kempire50off and use code Kempire50off to get 50% off plus free shipping. That's code Kempire50off at factormeals.com/Kempire50off for 50% off plus free shipping. Factormeals.com/Kempire50off. More information on Factor Meals and your discount will be available in the description. Check it out today. So let's get into this situation because there's a lot to unpack. Let me just make sure everything is working. Again, if you've been here and you've been checking out our updates, you know why I'm doing that. Just want to make sure that we're able to get this out. As always, I will be citing my sources. I've been watching the case throughout the day. Shout out to Inner City Press, who's giving us his notes and just the sort of the Q&A that's happening on the stand. We have to talk about two witnesses today. Yesterday, we talked about some of the experts that testified, including the former stylist. Deontay Nash was on the stand. They had to change his flight because they did not expect for him to have to come back today. So he was back on the stand this morning. And now Mia, quote Mia, aka victim four, is on the stand. And apparently they're going to keep her on the stand for the rest of the week. And from what I last heard, the prosecution basically wanted to end the day with her, and they had questions until the end of the day. So let me just give you some updates, and shout out to our friends again, because always over here, I don't know about anyone else, we cite our sources when we get them, okay? So this is from our friends over at NBC News. They said that Deontay Nash, a celebrity stylist and good friend of Cassie Ventura, sidebar, I think I mentioned this in yesterday's video because we did talk about Cassie giving birth. Congrats to her. It was on the stand that Deontay Nash basically spilled the tea that Cassie had given birth, because of course they asked the question, when was the last time that you spoke to Cassie? And he said, yesterday, I think because yesterday was when, so Tuesday she had given birth. He has to be honest, but he did not discuss this case. The only thing that he did reveal that he discussed was her asking what she should wear on the stand. Okay. Deontay Nash, a celebrity stylist and good friend of Cassie Ventura, is expected to continue his testimony today. Nash was supposed to finish testifying yesterday, but Combs' defense couldn't finish cross-examination by 4 p.m. Eastern. The government had to reschedule Nash's travel arrangements as the stylist was going to fly out of New York City last night. A woman who is only being referred to by the pseudonym Mia is expected to testify today. The government previously referred to the woman as victim four, and said that she used to work for Combs as a personal assistant. Mia has been mentioned in prior testimony, notably by Cassie Ventura. Her testimony is expected to take most of the day and tomorrow. In court yesterday, just a summary, the LAPD officer, Christopher Ignacio, testified about responding to a break-in at Kid Cudi's home in 2011. A Los Angeles Fire Department arson investigator, Lance Jimenez, also testified that he found a Molotov cocktail inside Kid Cudi's burned Porsche in early 2012, describing the car fire as, quote, targeted crime. We also discovered that the reason why his car wasn't, like, completely destroyed was because whoever put it in there literally did it incorrectly, and it never really ignited the way that I guess they planned. And there was also a battle over fingerprints and things like that, and triggering of a mistrial. That was discussed in my conversation with the prosecutor, Kirsten Brown. Again, it's such a great, in combination with everything that we've discussed here on the channel, go watch that video. As I said before, I'm going to include it in the description. I'll also pin it in the comment section for the replay crew. And I'll pin it in the live chat as well. Because if you want a true understanding of what we've been hearing and watching and some of the questions that I've been bringing up, I asked her these questions. So Deontay Nash, a celebrity stylist, also testified about the relationship between Combs and Cassie Ventura. Nash testified that he once jumped on Combs's back to keep him from beating Ventura. And a lot of people were saying that this is probably like the only person so far from what we know that actually tried to intervene when it comes to, and this is not to shame the other people. Like, I get it. Positions of power, you feeling not you can do anything. But this is, we're talking about other big security guards that didn't necessarily intervene. The ones that we know so far. Nash testified that he once jumped on Combs' back to keep him from beating Ventura. He also told the court that Combs threatened to send S-tapes of Ventura to her parents' workplaces to get them fired. That's when Regina Ventura testified that they had to refinance their home to get $20,000 only for him to send it back. We talked about that in my conversation with Kirsten Brown. This is a good reference to go back and watch that. The judge has made it abundantly clear he wants the trial to keep rolling fast so jurors can start deliberations around July 4th. But defense lawyers say that they've not been able to move as quickly due to jailhouse rules that prevent them from meeting with their client, Combs, after 7 p.m. Defense lawyer Mark Agnifilo said in court yesterday that Combs' inability to confer late slows trial prep, meaning the defense has to spend more time debating strategy without direct contact with their client. "We just need more access to Mr. Combs," Agnifilo told the court yesterday, asking for court permission to meet with Combs until 10 p.m. Okay. The judge promised to call the jail and see what arrangements could be made. I find these little details actually interesting. I don't know about you guys. I find that to be interesting. Meanwhile, the prosecution said it's running ahead of schedule and could rest by the second week of June. That's in a couple weeks, y'all. Because June 1st is Sunday. So they could rest by the second week of June or a few days later. The government had earlier said that it could last until June 20th. Cassie Ventura, as we already know, gave birth. They wanted to give us an update. She gave birth on Tuesday, roughly 2 weeks after she took the stand as a witness in Sean Combs' federal S-trafficking trial. A source familiar with the matter confirmed to NBC News the baby is her third with husband Alex Fine. They already announced that they were having a boy. Court's in session. The judge denied the government's bid to cut all video of key prosecution witness Mia, but he did order a ban against courtroom sketches of victim four. So we won't see a sketch of Mia. And I'm assuming Mia is not her real name. Assistant U.S. Attorney Madison Smizer had asked for Mia's testimony not to be shown in a court overflow room. Ooh, wow. The judge said it'd be improper to totally keep footage of Mia's testimony from getting out of his court, though he did agree to ban sketches of her in a similar fashion to the standing prohibition against jurors being drawn. The witness admitted that he didn't initially tell prosecutors that Ventura had been allegedly kicked by Combs in one particular attack he witnessed. Nash said that he wanted to answer questions in the most narrow way possible. "They didn't ask," he told Combs' attorney, Xavier Donaldson. "I gave as little as possible. I only answered what I was asked." He has also, on the stand yesterday, Deontay Nash says that he's been in communication with Diddy even after all of the incidents. He's been in, like, in recent years, has been in communication with him. And he says the text messages were, quote, loving. Okay. After breaking up with Combs, Ventura began communicating with Black Panther actor Michael B. Jordan. Michael B. Jordan's name has come up a couple of times during this trial, according to Nash. Apparently, Nash was the one who tried to hook them up. So dating, talking, getting to know each other, the witness said during cross-examination. And it's so interesting because we talked about this before. Diddy also dated Lori Harvey before Michael B. Jordan, only for Lori Harvey to end up dating Michael B. Jordan. Are there no other men in Hollywood? Again, some people might say, well, he's Michael B. Jordan. Nash admitted under cross-examination that from 2008 to 2013, Ventura never mentioned to him about the freak-offs that she performed for Combs. The defense's implication would be that the freak-offs weren't as troubling as Ventura has described. Or maybe it was just really embarrassing. Do you tell your friends? And I don't know. Yes, they're friends. I don't know how close of friends. Because remember, he was also a personal stylist as well. It was probably also at one particular point being paid by Diddy. I wouldn't blame her for probably not telling that many people. We had this conversation with the attorney as well. In regards to a small majority of people do not tell a lot of people in their lives about the abuses that they're, not a small majority, a lot of people that are in abusive relationships do not tell anyone what they're going through. If anything, they may tell one person. The defense implication would be that the freak-offs weren't as troubling as Ventura has described if she failed to mention them to a friend like Nash. Deontay Nash testified that he saw Mia on a video call with Ventura and she had a black eye visible. So he's mentioning Mia in his testimony. He says, Nash testified that he saw Mia on a video call with Ventura and she had a black eye visible. He says, I saw it in person. When her makeup wears off, you can see it, Nash said. Whoa. Nash recalled a time when he spotted a random man joining Ventura in her Las Vegas hotel room without Combs' presence. The testimony could feed the defense's narrative that Ventura had sex with strangers as a normal part of her life and not as a forced act at Combs' direction. The freak-offs allegedly ordered by Combs are central to the prosecution's allegations that he used his business to engage in sex trafficking and other crimes. A former personal assistant to Combs, who will be referred to only by the pseudonym Mia, has taken the stand. She's expected to testify to the forced labor and racketeering charges in the indictment. Again, for those that want a better understanding of what the prosecution has done so far in order to start that puzzle piece, those puzzle pieces, putting that together, we talked about that as well with the attorney. The prosecution entered Mia's passport into court records under seal, with her true name and date of birth shown only to the jurors. Witnesses normally take the witness stand and state their name in open court for the record. But this witness is only being referred to by a pseudonym, Mia. She previously worked for Combs as a personal assistant. Mia described working for Combs, and for those that are in the live chat, please do not speculate on who Mia is. If the court is trying to protect her identity, let's not speculate on who this could possibly be. Mia described working for Combs as chaotic and toxic, but said that it could be exciting. The highs were really high and the lows really low. Puff's mood determined the environment. He threw things at me, he threw me against the wall, threw me in the pool. He threw something against my head and SA'd me. She said that he SA'd her on more than one occasion. Combs had gone by several names in the past, including Puff Daddy, hence the name, nickname Puff. That was his like first name that people remember him by, then he changed it. Mia testified that when she traveled with Combs and stayed at his properties, locking her own bedroom wasn't allowed. Puff said, "This is my house and no one locks the doors," the witness said. That rule didn't seem to apply to the predominantly male security team that stayed in rooms with deadbolts and keypad locks, Mia recalled. It sounded like he wanted to be predatory. That's what it sounds like. Mia said as an assistant, she manages Combs' social media presence, served as the main liaison between Combs and Hollywood, managed his daily routine, kept him on his schedule, and protected him and his privacy. She said that she had to stay attached to her BlackBerry and stay within Combs' eyesight, as well as anticipate his needs and his whims and moods. Every single day is different, can be 17,000 things at one time, range from cracking knuckles, doing taxes, or writing his next movie. He can also have you stand next to him for 24 hours and not ask you to do one thing. Whoa. Mia said that she and Ventura grew close and became like sisters, best friends, during their time working with Combs. Ventura said, Ventura and Combs had a rocky relationship, Mia said, with highs and lows that often included abuse by the defendant. She still keeps in close contact today, Mia said. When Mia was asked what would happen when she did something without Combs' permission, she said, "It would be bad, serious. She and Cassie Ventura would get in trouble. The punishment was unpredictable and terrifying. If Ventura didn't pick up Combs' phone call, multiple people would call and text her, and security would show up if they couldn't find her." Mia said that she saw a lot of the aftermath of Combs' and Ventura's relationship. She said that she saw Ventura with injuries. She also saw Combs attack Ventura and throw her on the ground, she said. "I've seen him crack her head open," Mia said. She did not recall ever seeing Ventura fight back. Ventura never fought back against Combs during multiple violent attacks, Mia said. In one particular disturbing incident, Mia said that she found Ventura hiding from Combs outside in bushes with a terrified look in her eyes. Ventura suffered a nasty cut on her forehead after Combs attacked her at the victim's Los Angeles apartment, the witness said. Mia testified that she tried to stop the beatings by jumping on Combs' back before the music mogul threw her against the wall. "It was so fast, but I felt like I was in slow motion," Mia said. "I saw him grab Cass and I couldn't get there fast enough. The bed platform was the sharpest I had ever seen, and he threw her and she hit her head on the corner of the bed." The witness continued, "She had a pretty big scar on her forehead, which was split open and blood was coming out." Mia recalled an incident in 2012 when she and Cassie Ventura went out to party without Combs' permission. They were all in a suite at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and Combs had directed Mia to stay there with Ventura as he was going to be with his kids. Mia said a friend called and said Prince was having a party. Those all connecting the dots for those of us that have been following this case since day one. Mia said that a friend called and said Prince was having a party and she and Ventura, like little kids, snuck out of the house. They went to Prince's party and were having fun when Combs showed up. I saw his bucket hat coming through the entrance. We locked eyes and crap, Cass and I started running through the house to get across the yard, trying to run and hide there, Mia explained. Puff caught Cass, he caught up to her and had her and threw her to the ground and started to attack her. Mia said Prince's security intervened. The next day, Mia was notified that she was being suspended without pay, and Combs said that she was being insubordinate. Whoa. So they take a lunch break for the day, so I'll take a little bit of a break in this video. Guys, don't forget to like the video. It's an easy and free way of supporting not just my channel, but other channels that are covering the Diddy trial, but other things. As you know, here on the channel, we cover everything in pop culture, so be sure to check out some of the things that you may have missed already. And don't forget, you can also listen to our live recaps and special episodes like this one will be available on the podcast. Today, the interview that we did with Kirsten Brown, the prosecutor, unpacking the legal ramifications of this Diddy trial, actually showed up there first this morning, several hours before it premiered here on YouTube. So if you're not subscribed to the Kempire podcast, you might want to. Let's get back to the Diddy Combs trial. The witness recalled a scary confrontation in 2012 when she and Ventura were barricaded into a beachside room, hiding from an enraged Combs during a vacation in the Turks and Caicos Islands. They pushed furniture to block the front door as Combs was allegedly banging and screaming to be let inside. I was looking at Cass and she was screaming for help, and you have to help me, Puff is going to kill me, Mia recalled. She's usually chill and calm, and she was terrified. The pair dashed out a back door to the beach and out to a paddleboard, allowing them to flee into the water. The weather shifted dramatically and the sky turned black, Mia remembered. We were both debating. I was trying to weigh if this was scarier to face Mother Nature or go back to Puff. Isn't that crazy? We eventually went back to Puff. Yeah, because they probably would have ended up lost at sea and drowned. Wow, this is the second, not second story, but another story where two women, along with Cassie, are escaping him and they're trying to I have no words. At times, Mia appears to struggle to keep her emotions in check and breathe while describing Combs' tumultuous relationship with Ventura. That's one of the things I saw on Inner City Press. They said that, and this is probably part of the reason why she wants to testify under a pseudonym and protect her identity. She's probably still very much fearful. At times, Mia appears to struggle to keep her emotions in check and breathe while describing Combs' tumultuous relationship with Cassie Ventura. She almost appeared to be hyperventilating and had to catch her breath in describing how, quote, heartbroken Combs was in December of 2011 when he learned that Cassie Ventura was seeing Kid Cudi. He was distraught. He could not believe that she had moved on. Mia testified that Cassie Ventura and Combs sometimes had hotel nights and some lasted multiple nights. Mia testified that she would sometimes take them there, unpack, and set up. Combs asked her to bring toiletries, clothes, candles, lotions, baby oil, Astroglide, and condoms, she said. One night stood out at the London Hotel in New York when Ventura answered the door in her underwear. She was struggling. I had never seen her like that before, so much that I asked her, "Are you okay?" And she said, "I'm good," and closed the door, she testified. Mia says that Combs asked her to clean up the rooms to wipe up enough stuff that the housekeeper couldn't clean. She said that the state of the hotel room after they were used was a nightmare, destroyed, and really nasty, including candle wax, broken glass, water on the floor, sometimes blood, oil on the walls, and wet towels. My gosh. The defendant was frequently taking ketamine and other drugs, often at inappropriate times, Mia said. She recalled him once taking these drugs on his way for an appearance with Chelsea Handler. The witness said hitting the road with Combs was like being with a traveling medicine cabinet, as pills were stashed in plastic bags and or in his Louis Vuitton pouch. Mia described her dynamic with Combs as hot and cold. Sometimes he treated her like his best friend, and working partner, and other times, like I was a worthless piece of crap, she said. In the good times, he opened up about
going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in one-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Personal things and compliment her work. Other times he would humiliate me, curse at me, go on a rant about how incompetent and stupid I was. She told jurors that he'd throw things at her, including spaghetti on one occasion. In that incident, she had started to go down to her room because she had been working since 8 in the morning without a break and needed to change her tampon. Outraged, he threw the spaghetti at her and started to curse at her, chased her up the stairs, and she hid and eventually escaped to a hotel. On another occasion, she testified that he threw a computer at her head while in Los Angeles in a trailer on a movie set. He was in a rage over the Wi-Fi not working. But the computer did not make contact with her head, she recalled. She ran out the trailer and hid afterwards. So backtracking a little bit, every once in a while, I like to include some of what Inner City Press is reporting, because if you follow them on X, he is highlighting some of what is being said in court. It's not a transcript. A transcript is going to give you verbatim what everything and what everyone is saying. However, it's very close, and every once in a while, I will read some of it. Mia, the pseudonym that they're using for this former personal assistant to Diddy, who is accusing him of basically just being a terrible human being, but also a terrible boss, working her to the bone. At one particular point, she says that she worked 24 hours. That's not the first time that one of his assistants has testified saying that. Capricorn Clark said that. Kaplan said that as well. But this is one of the victims that claims that he actually SA'd her. Capricorn Clark accused Diddy of being physical with her, but also kidnapping her. These are elements of what the prosecution has charged Sean Diddy Combs with. Let's take a look at what Inner City Press is reporting in regards to what is being said. Right now, the prosecution is asking her questions. And I thought this was an important part to note, because there's so many people, and there will always be people that will defend Diddy or make excuses for what's happening right now. But the AUSA says, did you ever call the police? Because she was reliving the incident about when Cassie and her barricaded the door with furniture and escaped out the back. And they decided, are we going to fight Mother Nature or Diddy? But they ended up going back. So the AUSA says, did you ever call the police? Mia said no. Why not? Mia says, I believe Puff's authority was above the police. This was before social media and the Me Too movement. There were no examples of people standing up. I thought it was under the confidentiality deal with Puff's business, meaning the NDA that she signed. I think a lot of people recently understood an NDA does not prevent you from speaking about illegal activity. Don't be judgy of me. I've never heard of it before. I recently had like a facial done, and I thought I might get a little bruising because of the reaction that I had. And my esthetician says, get some Arnica gel. And I was like, what's Arnica gel? And so now I have a better understanding. Go figure. And AUSA's for what? I guess the AUSA didn't know either. No, they have to clarify. She says bruises. But let's turn to December 22nd, 2011. Mia says, at Puff's house, the mood was darker than normal. There was more of a like Puff was upset. What did he tell him? That Cass had been talking to somebody else. Who? Kid Cudi. How was he? He seemed heartbroken. It was ominous. I'd never witnessed Cass to do something to really cause him to be upset. I felt something bad would happen. Did you see her? In a black car with Capricorn Clark. How many assistants did he have at this time? My goodness. AUSA says, did you reach out to anyone? Yes, to D-Rock. 3T112, what is this? My emails with D-Rock. Only the redacted one into evidence, the AUSA says. Combs' attorney says, same objection. AUSA says, he was security. Judge says, with that foundation, admitted. AUSA says, read the messages. Mia says, I wrote to D-Rock. I'm worried about P. This feels different. Hit this email when you get it. Love you. Were you romantically involved with D-Rock? Mia says, definitely not. That's just how we talked. Honestly, I didn't even think that, but I guess they have to clarify with the jury because you don't want people to assume anything. AUSA says, let's talk about the hotel nights. What was your role? I would sometimes take them there. Unpack. We went through this. I'm going to skip through some of this stuff. She also said Astroglide, candles, etc. Let's skip down a bit. Do you remember seeing Cassie? Mia says, at the London Hotel in New York. I brought some things to the room. Cass opened the door. She was wearing a bright blue wig. How did she appear? Like she was struggling. I asked, are you good? She closed the door. Based on the summary, again, we're getting everyone's different reactions that are in the court. Apparently, Cassie did respond to her, but in this transcript, she just closed the door. AUSA says, who told you to clean the rooms? Puff and the office. It was standard to sweep the room so no housekeeper can sell something to TMZ. AUSA says, how were the rooms? Destroyed. Candle wax everywhere. I've seen broken glass, sometimes blood, oil on walls. What would Mr. Combs tell you about the blood? That it was period blood. Because remember, Cassie said that sometimes even when she was on her monthly, that he would still allegedly make her participate in these freak-offs. What happened in Cassie's car in LA? Cassie got a call, then told me he wants to do a hotel night. I don't want to. She got sick. After the hotel night, Mia says, man down. Not sure what that meant. What did that mean? Oh, okay. So this is exactly what she said. They'd stay in the room sleeping, only up to eat. AUSA says, did you do drugs before you worked for Mr. Combs? No. And after? Yes, MDMA. Lord, he was getting his assistants high too. Puff gave it to me. He said that I was now part of the Breakfast Club. What did he mean? Like the cool club. He said MDMA was pure. I felt like I was now a friend hanging out and I can enjoy myself. Did you take ketamine? She says, yes, at Burning Man. We were partying on a tour bus. We had the blackout shades down. She says, he had the drugs on plates. I tried to say no. What happened? Puff wouldn't let it go. It turned a little more serious that I was going to mess up the whole vibe. I tried to fake take it. He got close to my face and humiliated me. How? He separated out a dose and made me snort it. I didn't want to fall into the K-hole. I'd seen a person. It looked like an exorcism. Did you want to take the ketamine? Mia says, I didn't feel I had a choice. Coercion. Did he take drugs while working? He was always working. Once on the way to Chelsea Handler. How did Mr. Combs treat you? Sometimes like a best friend and working partner. Sometimes like I was a worthless piece of crap, which we've talked about in our summary. In comparison to what we found out that Capricorn Clark was making, we found out that she was making somewhere between $70,000 to $100,000 as her salary. Can you imagine the working around the clock, dealing with this, dealing with the way that your boss is talking to you, allegedly forcing you to take drugs? How would he compliment you? My work. He'd give me life advice and to tell you, you think I'd be taking life advice from Diddy at this particular point? But I get, again, this is a different time. This is when he's being respected. This is when people think that he's this amazing guy, amazing entrepreneur. And to tell you you were worthless, long extended rants about how incompetent and stupid I was, threatened my job, anything physical. Mia says, throw things at me. Did he talk about jobs for you? Yes, before Revolt Films. He talked about other companies. I told him I wanted to create and develop TV shows, especially comedy. He said that's what he wanted to do too, and that he'd take away my credits. Not take away, I mean, he's known to take away people's credits. What did he throw at you? A bowl of spaghetti. We summarized this. Turkey meat. A computer. A phone. Let's talk about the spaghetti. What did he tell you to do? To get people, but I needed to change my tampon. He yelled, yo, girl, I said, do it now. Blood was dripping down my leg. I said, I have to go change my tampon. What did Mr. Combs do? He threw his bowl of spaghetti at me, then said, get the F out of my house. He chased me out. I was barefoot. I hid in a bush, then to a hotel. Like, this is insane. What did HR tell you? That I was going to be suspended without pay. That's what Puff wanted. Lord, HR. This is when people say HR does not protect you. They protect the company. Where were you when he threw a computer at you? In a trailer. Swiss Beats was there. The Wi-Fi was broken and I went to look into it. Not Swiss Beats being called out. Mia says, I came back and said they were working on it. What did Mr. Combs do? I said I should talk to Bill Gates if I had to. Then he threw his computer at my head hard. It just missed me. I ran and hid behind the luggage van. How did you feel? I wondered, what did I do to make him like this to me? You see the cycle of abuse? Again, I told you this yesterday. The cycle of abuse is not just about personal relationships. It's also, it can be in the workplace. Did he hurt you? Mia says, Turks and Caicos and at the Revolt offices. Where were you at Turks? A hammock by my room. Puff dumped a bucket of ice on me, screaming. Wow. Then Puff took my phone. I didn't want him to see it. The team, we'd message about his moods. I didn't want him to see it, so I jumped on his back. What did he do? He threw me back into the pool. Oh my gosh. This is, when you talk about toxic work environments, there's got to be a new word for working for Sean Diddy Combs. We already knew he was toxic and that he allegedly was, I'm just saying allegedly to cover myself, allegedly was stealing from his artists. If we only knew how even more toxic he was behind the scenes. And I know we saw it on Making the Man. However, it was even worse. And at Revolt TV, he was using my phone and I didn't want him to see my message. Maybe I called him an a-hole. I tried to get the phone back. He ran into the bathroom, then slammed the door on my arm repeatedly. AUSA says injuries. Mia says bruises. Wow. Did you see him later? She says, at the studio. He told me he sent all my compromising photos to his phone. Wow. Again, now we're talking about, again, extortion and using this information about her against her, an employee. At the studio, he told me he sent all my compromising photos to his phone in case I had stuff on him, kind of like a bullying joke. How did you take it? I had no photos, so I knew he was lying. What are these? My emails with Tony and Shannon. I said Puff took my iPhone. I don't know what or when I'll get it back. Tony asked, what happened? I said, definitely an in-person story. AUSA says, why? I wouldn't put violence in writing. AUSA says, who was Matt? Puff's engineer. At one point we dated. AUSA says, I have more. So the essay, when did they occur? So this is when she gets into when he essayed her. Mia says, when I was working for Puff, where was the first time? The Plaza Hotel in New York for Puff's 40th birthday. Were you his personal assistant? Yes, I've been there only a few months. What rooms did Mr. Combs rent out? The penthouse. Party guests and celebrities there. What did Mr. Combs do? He asked to speak to me in the kitchen. What did he do? He had everyone else clear the room. What did he say? That we were going to be working closer together. He poured us 2 shots of vodka each for his birthday. He says, what did you do with the shot? I took them. Then he hit me hard. Usually I could take it easily. Mm-mm-mm. My eyes couldn't focus. His face was close. He put his arm up the side of my dress and he kissed me. Do you want him to? She says, no. Were you able to say no? Mia says, I was shocked. I froze. I didn't process what was happening. Next thing I knew, it was morning and I was in the chair in the penthouse. How had you looked at him? Like an older adult. He was the boss or the king. What were your expectations? I thought it would never happen again. A huge accident. Were there other times he made you feel uncomfortable sexually? Yes, she says. I had to carry bags to his room. Downstairs was Uncle Paulie. What did he say to you? Combs' attorney says, objection. Judge says, grounds. Steele says, hearsay. AUSA says, for the effect, overruled, the judge says. Mia says, I brought the bags. He asked me to pull something up on his computer. He came and sat next to me, leaned over me as if to put his face in the computer, like in an uncomfortable way. How did you feel? I pretended I had to go to the bathroom. Where were you the next time Mr. Combs essayed you? The Beverly Grove house. I was asleep on the bottom bunk. I wasn't allowed to lock the door. I woke up. There was the weight of a person on me. AUSA says, who? She says, Puff. Mia says, it was so fast. He used one hand to get his pants undone. He put himself inside of me. AUSA says, you mean his inside of you? Mia says, I just froze. AUSA says, how did you feel? Mia says, terrified and confused and ashamed and scared. AUSA says, how long? Mia says, very quick. So here's the thing. Again, I'm just going to always cite back to the conversation that we had today that you can now hear and view here on our YouTube channel with prosecuting attorney Kirsten Brown, where she's talking about that Cassie, she suspects, was not the star witness here. We are now hearing from an employee that's accusing Diddy of SAing her multiple times. They continue. She says, very quick. Mia says, but it felt like forever. But he wouldn't leave a job unfinished. Is that when it would end? Mia says, yes. The next time, the Beverly Crest house. I was on his bedroom closet floor putting things in a bag. Then Puff was in the closet. Mia says, he had his ass out. And he grabbed my head and cries and put it in. Mr. Combs took his out and put it in your mouth? Mia says, yes, I was frozen. I didn't do anything. I just sobbed. No, she says, I just, and then she sobs. AUSA says, how did you feel? Like trash, scared and ashamed. How long did it last? It was very fast. Were there other essays? Yes, I have a dark feeling. One time we were flying on a private jet. Everyone was asleep by the bathroom. There was a bed. I went by and he was standing right there. I tried to make it about other people who might see or hear. It didn't work. How did you feel? Helpless. I had lost some layer of protection. I wasn't safe. Terrified. Do you remember what happened? Mia says, no. Was Cassie ever there? Mia says, no. Did you ever want these S acts with Mr. Combs? Mia said, no. Did you ever tell him no? I couldn't tell him no about a sandwich or anything. Then he would know that I thought what he was doing was wrong. Mia says, I didn't want to lose everything I'd worked so hard for. This was the only world I had anymore. What would happen to your job? Mia says, I would never work in the industry again. And physically? Mia says that I'd be attacked. I don't want to die. Hence why she is asking the court to keep her anonymous. InterCity Press on X reports this. They said, Mia responds and says, he threatened that he would tell Cass that it had something to do with it. AUSA says, how did you feel? Desperate and trapped. Worst scary situation. I would have done anything. It was my fault. Did you tell anyone? No, I was going to die with this. Oof. Mia says, I would be humiliated, never work again. AUSA says, and who would do these things? Puff and all his people. This was way before social media and Me Too. There was this confidentiality. Did others speak up? Kayla Faulkner, not sure of spelling, they say. How did you hear? I heard there was an urgent call among film people. What did you hear? Lay some context, the judge says. AO says, who was on the call? Mia says, HR, C-suite executives. AUSA says, what were you told? If she sued, I'd have to testify. They continue here. They says, Mia says, I was supposed to say that she was drinking and punched me, and that's why she was fired. Excuse me? They were asking her to lie under oath? Was that why? Mia says, no, it was because she complained. When else were you told you'd have to testify? After Capricorn Clark. Did you have to testify? Mia says, no. Why didn't you go to the police about Mr. Combs sexually harassing you? Mia says, I didn't even consider it. Especially when she's seeing what he's doing with other people, other employees. Mia says, I didn't even consider it. Did you have experience with police? Mia says, yes, I was speeding. I hadn't had time to get my license renewed. Lord. Mia says, it was only the time I name dropped. I told her who I worked for, and she said, get him on the phone. I did, and she laughed. Oh, Puff Daddy, I love you. AUSA says, did you get a ticket? Mia says, no. Mm-mm-mm. So just a quick summary in regards to some of the testimony from Mia, which is a pseudonym that they're using for this victim and former employee of Sean Diddy Combs. Our friends over at NBC remind us, they said the witness testified about another SA this time in 2009 or 2010 at Combs' home in LA. Mia said that she was on the bottom bunk of a bed, which we just played for you. She says she hadn't been allowed to lock the door when staying at Combs' properties. She says Combs once forced Mia to perform oral on him in an attack that made her feel like trash, the witness testified. Mia said that she was just frozen when Combs came out of a closet at his LA home and had his private area out of his pants before forcing her head down. She said the attack made her feel like trash, and when the prosecution asked if she had consented to this, Mia replied, no, it was really fast. Mia testified that there were other essays, but said she couldn't recall all the details. I just remember feeling like a specific horrible dark feeling in my stomach, Mia said. There was no particular pattern or timing of the attacks, Mia said, other than that they unfolded when Ventura was not around. I always thought that this was the last time, she said. Next time, I would somehow be more prepared. I had to get right back to work. There was so much going on. Mia wept and struggled to get her voice above a whisper in testifying how she said Combs' essay continued and that somehow it was, quote, my fault. The witness says that she felt so desperate and terrified and trapped, and that it was my fault. There was a point in her life when Mia said that she was determined to take these alleged assaults to the grave. She said, I was going to die with this, she said. I didn't want anyone to know ever. So we're going to wrap up today's recap of Sean Diddy Combs' trial with Mia's testimony. She will be back on the stand tomorrow for a cross-examination from the defense, but her testimony today was pretty damning, especially her being an employee accusing Diddy of not just overworking her, but also SAing her as well. Now I'm thinking in regards to where Kirsten said in our separate video talking about the legality of this case, I'm thinking to myself, she's right. Cassie Ventura, although seemingly the person that we know, the most notable person that's a part of this case and notable victim, no, his victims get worse and worse by the day. Guys, I need to hear your thoughts and opinions. I hope you watched the previous video. For those that really want to understand the legality of what's happening when it comes to this case, and if you just want more education on some of what you've been seeing and watching, and whether or not the prosecution is doing what they're supposed to do in proving the charges against Sean Diddy Combs. Guys, don't forget, we will be taking the Kempire After Dark, the villain era, on the road this summer. First up, Philadelphia. We're going to be talking Diddy, pop culture, Real Housewives. It's a fun night. It's also an opportunity for you guys to meet and greet with me as well. I'll be coming to Philadelphia July 10th, Atlanta August 5th, Washington, D.C. August 22nd. Then we're back here in New York City on September 12th. All ticket information will be available in the description. There's also a live stream option only for the New York City show, so be sure to check that out. As always, thank you to our subscribers. Thank you to our channel members. Thank you to our King's Guards for holding us down. Let's continue this conversation in the comment section. As always, be mindful of allowing people to have their opinions. Also, be mindful of, I'm not going to edit this video as much as I can, because again, this is a daily thing that we're doing here. So if there are hums, ahs, spaces, deal with it. Or I could just not do it. Just saying. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for watching and for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network. Don't forget to give the Kempire 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. And as always, for more information on everything Kempire Radio Network, head on over to KempireRadio.com.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.